Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. We're going through the gospel according to Matthew, and we're stopping to examine every parable and miracle that Jesus performed or spoke. And today we come to a section in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is going to talk about two roads, two gates, and two destinies. If you've ever watched Jay Leno, you know he likes to sort of point out things that were actually printed in newspapers that are kind of funny. You can really find some funny things that have actually been printed in newspapers. I want to share some of them with you. One newspaper reported a deputy responded to a report of a vehicle stopping at mailboxes. It was a mailman. Another one said an Australian army vehicle worth $74,000 has gone missing after being painted with camouflage. They did a pretty good job, wouldn't you say? Another one said a woman in the 1900th block of 129th Lane Northeast reported October 15th that someone must have stolen her mail because she did not receive birthday cards from some of her friends. This is my favorite. Here's a crime report, 1:14 a.m., caller reports hitting an intruder in the head with an axe. Notes that intruder was in the mirror. I bet the guy in the mirror had an axe too. What do you bet? Another one said a caller reported at 7:14 p.m. that someone was on a porch yelling help from a resident on Bank Street. Officers responded and learned the person was calling a cat that is named Help. That's kind of like naming your dog Fire. Here's another one. The Learning Center on Hanson Street reports a man across the way stands at his window for hours watching the center, making parents nervous. Police ID the subject as a cardboard cutout of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was there all the time, so he didn't have to say, I'll be back. Finally, if you guys are looking for a tombstone, here's one for sale. Tombstone, standard gray, a good buy for someone named Grady. Makes me wonder what happened to Grady. Well, you know, we've been examining some of the humor of Jesus, and some people think that's an oxymoron, but I told you he was a Hebrew comic, because to talk about someone with a beam or a log in their eye trying to help someone extract a speck from their eye, that's comical to a Jewish mindset. And then the idea of taking a pearl necklace and putting it around a pig, that's funny. But as Jesus comes toward the climax of this section we call the Sermon on the Mount, he drops the humor and he gets deadly serious and he really starts talking about eternal matters. And we come to this passage today, and he's going to talk about only two roads that people can take, going through two gates that lead to two destinies. So let's read about it. Matthew 7, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. And you're welcome to stand with me if you like as we read God's Word. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, Father, for the next few moments, would you please speak to our hearts and help us to understand which road we're on? And if anybody here is on the wrong road, Father, I pray that they will get on the right road today, a road that leads them to you and forgiveness and eternal home in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, be seated. I've told you many times before that Jesus could take profound truth and simplify it down into ideas that even a child can understand. Well, everybody knows what a road is. Everybody knows what a gate is. And so Jesus said, really, there are two kinds of people in the world. And you know, you can call them different things. You can say some people are saved and some are lost, if you want to use that language. You can say some are redeemed and some are unredeemed. Some are Christ followers and others are Christ rejectors. Some are believers and some are, and I used to say unbelievers, but I never say that anymore. I say pre-believers. Because the Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so some people don't believe now, but they will believe. But Jesus said there's two roads, two gates, two destinies. And I want to share with you three spiritual truths that I think Jesus was trying to express here. Number one, most people, according to Jesus, are speeding on the superhighway that leads to destruction. I mean, it is a superhighway that's leading to destruction. In fact, Jesus said it this way. Let's read it again. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many follow it. And you say, Pastor, why do you say that most people are going in the wrong direction, spiritually speaking? Is it because you look around and you observe it? No, not at all. It's simply because Jesus said it. He said there are many who are on the wrong road, and as we're going to see in a moment, only a few who are on the right road. Now, have you ever driven in Dallas on the freeway, 635? I mean, it's a pretty wide highway, isn't it? You know, six, eight lanes. Well, compared to this super highway that leads to destruction, the LBJ is just a narrow little trail. I mean, this thing has hundreds of lanes. And most of the people, according to Jesus, they're streaming down this highway as fast as they can. And you know what? They think they're going in the right direction. One reason they think they're going in the right direction is because everybody else is too. And they think, you know, I must be going in the right direction because look at all the other people. Well, Jesus said, that's where most people are going. Here's a verse from Proverbs chapter 14. Pay attention to it. It's a warning. It says, there is a way. Just substitute the word road. There is a road, a way that seems right to a man or to a woman, but it leads to destruction. And the Bible says, and many follow it. That's what the Bible is saying. In the end, it leads to, what's the word there? Proverbs 14:12. It leads to death. You know, when I was a pastor in Alabama in the early 80s, I heard about a tragic accident that happened over in North Georgia on a Friday night after a high school football game. A mother of one of the high school cheerleaders was driving back home with her daughter, who was a cheerleader, and two of her friends. And it was a rainy, foggy night. And somehow, maybe some warning cones or something had gotten moved, or somehow she didn't see it. Well, what happened was she ended up driving off a bridge that was not completed, that was under construction, and the car crashed into the ravine below, and all four people were killed. But you know, as they examined that accident, you know the worst thing about it? There were no skid marks on the bridge, meaning she never, for one instant, thought she was on the wrong road. And I can just imagine what might have been happening in that car. You know, the girls talking and laughing and the radio playing, and they're just having a good time. And then in that split instant, when you realize, I have taken the wrong road. Well, that's what the Bible says. There is a road, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Now, you know, this highway to hell, you might say, this highway to destruction has hundreds of different lanes. Widest highway you've ever could ever imagine. But let me just mention quickly three of the lanes that are on this highway to destruction. First of all, there's just the unbelief lane. I mean, we all know that there are some people that just say, well, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I mean, you Christians can believe what you want to, but I just don't believe it. And to me, these are the ones that are kind of on the outside lane of like a German Autobahn where there's no speed limit. And I mean, they are wow, giving no thought about where they're headed. And to them, it's kind of a race. They think it's the road to success and they just want to get there as fast as they can, never stopping to realize why people really call it the rat race. So there's just the unbelief lane, and we probably all know people in that lane. And they give no thought of what's going to happen after they die. Here's another lane. This is, number two, the morality lane. I mean, now these are people who think that this road is going to take them to heaven. They say, I don't need the church. I don't need the Bible. I don't need Jesus. I just believe if I treat people nice and I treat people good and I live a good life, that one day this road is going to lead me to heaven. Now, by the way, folks, most people on the street in America believe that. I mean, you go ask anybody on the street, hey, what do you have to do to go to heaven? You know what the number one answer you're going to get is? Be good, do good. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Here's the third lane. Right next to the morality lane is what I call the religion lane. The religion lane. You say, Pastor, aren't we religious? No, we're not religious. We don't like religion. Religion is man's attempt to connect with God through rituals or regulations. We don't believe in that here. We believe in a relationship, a living relationship with God, not a religion. But there are a lot of people that think they're following their religion, it'll get them to God. I mean, our Muslim friends, they believe if they just obey those five pillars of Islam, that Allah will admit them into paradise. Those who are Buddhist believe if they follow the eightfold path set forth by Gautama, Buddha, they'll end up in heaven. Those who are Hindu believe that if they observe the doctrine of karma, that they'll keep being reincarnated into higher and higher beings until finally they're God. And they really think that this road, this religion road, will get them to heaven. But Jesus said, you know what? There's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, I just want to ask you, are you on this road? Do you know anybody who is? Jesus said that's one of the roads, and most people are on it. Here's the second thing we want to talk about. Not only that super highway that leads to destruction, but secondly, Jesus said a few people have made a U-turn and are traveling on the Jesus road that leads to life. You know, he says there are two roads, and you don't have to be on the wrong road. Some people, in fact, he says there are a few who've made a U-turn and are traveling on the Jesus road that leads to life. And here's what he said, small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And he's the one that said, and only a few, only a few find it. You know, the truth is, at one time, every one of us, all of us were on the wrong road. Because the Bible says we're all sinners. And we all fall short of the glory of God. So there was a time in my life that I was going in the wrong direction. But you know what? I came face to face with the claims of Jesus Christ. And I decided that I was going to make a U-turn. And you know what the word in the Bible is for that? Repent. That's what exactly the word means. I'm going toward my selfish desires, toward sin, whatever I want. And suddenly I just say, I'm going to change and I'm going to turn. And it is only through the power of Jesus Christ that I can do this. I turn and I make a U-turn. And the Bible says that's repentance. And Jesus said, unless you all repent, you will perish. Now, folks in Tyler, we all understand U-turns a little bit better now, don't we? Since we've got those medians in all the highways. I mean, we used to use those suicide lanes in the middle. Now you have to go down and make a U-turn. Hey, that's what repentance is in the Bible. You change your mind, which leads to a change of heart, which leads to a change of behavior. And now, just like a lot of you, I'm on this narrow road, this Jesus road that leads to life. And you know, on this road, we can discover a couple of really cool things about Jesus. Here's number one. First of all, we learn that Jesus is the pathway to know God. He is the pathway to know God. If you want to have a relationship with God, Jesus said, I am the only way to do it. In fact, let's read his words, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way. You can just substitute the word road. I am the roadway and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, let's just face it. People who are not Christians say that we are so narrow-minded. Have you ever been accused of being narrow-minded? Well, it was Jesus who said that this is a narrow road and a narrow gate. But what he said was, I am the only way to God the Father. Now, it's not us being narrow-minded. It's just us believing and accepting what our Lord said No one, he says, goes to the Father but by me. Now notice Jesus didn't say I'm a way to God. He said I'm the way. He didn't say I'm one of the ways, one of the sources of life, one of the sources of truth. He says I am the way, the truth, the life. Now, you know, you've heard this before. That is an audacious claim. And like C.S. Lewis said, for someone to make that claim, you can't just say he was a good person, a good teacher. Because either he said, I'm the only way to the Father, and he really thought he was, but he really wasn't. You know what that would make him? A lunatic. Not a good person, a lunatic. Or what if he said, I am the only way to the Father, and he knew he wasn't, but he said it anyway. That doesn't make him a lunatic, that makes him a liar. So he either was a lunatic, a liar, or he was really speaking absolute truth when he said, no man goes to the Father but by me. So C.S. Lewis said, you either have to say he's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he is Lord. He said, I'm the only way to know God. Here is the second benefit we learn. Not only is he the pathway to knowing God, number two, Jesus is the gateway to blessing. He's the gateway to blessing. Remember Jesus talked about a narrow gate and a wide gate? This narrow gate, what does it lead us to? Well, it leads us to life. It leads us to a life of blessing. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me, now how can that be? Whoever enters through me will be saved, or literally safe. He will come in and go out and find pasture. You say, well, I don't understand that verse. Well, let me explain it to you. Jesus was talking about how he is like a shepherd and we are like his sheep. And back in the time of Jesus, when shepherds would take their flocks out into the wilderness, there would be these enclosed sheepfolds that were a square made of stones stacked up high enough that the sheep couldn't get out and some of the predators couldn't get in. But there was no doorway. There was just a space in the stone wall. And the shepherd would lead the sheep inside the sheepfold, and then the shepherd himself would lie down across the opening. He would literally become the gate. That's why Jesus said, I'm the gate. He that goes in through me is safe. The shepherd would protect the sheep from predators and would keep the sheep from escaping. And then Jesus said, there, go in and come out and find pasture. What's pasture a word for? Well, it's blessings, nourishment, good grass, green acres. It's pastures. By the way, that's why the name of my blog is From the Pasture. It's not a misspelling of pastor. It's based on this verse. I am so blessed that all of my perspective comes from the pasture where I'm being led out and led in and being so blessed. So Jesus not only is the roadway, the pathway to know God, he is the gateway for blessing. And he said only a few people are on that road. So I just want to ask you before we move on. Are you on that road? Are you on this narrow pathway, the Jesus road? Are you? Good for you. Do you know anybody that you suspect isn't? You know, anytime I think about the narrow door, the narrow gate, I'm reminded of a story I heard one time about a little mom and pop hardware store in this little town, and they did a pretty good business. But one day, Walmart came in and built a huge Walmart super center right next to this little mom and pop hardware store. I mean, they shared a wall. And then after that, a huge Target superstore came in and built right on the other side of it. So here was this little mom and pop hardware store dwarfed by these two mega stores. Some people would have given up, but you know what the guy did? He just changed the name of his store and he went out and he put up a huge new sign for the new name of his hardware store, and the sign had letters 6 feet tall and the name of his store became Main Entrance. Main Entrance. Well, folks, when it comes to life, Jesus isn't the main entrance. He says, I am the only entrance. Well, we've talked about two roads, two gates. What about the two destinies? Number three, Your direction in life will determine your destination after death. Did you catch that? Your direction in life will determine your destination after death. Nate, I don't like talking about hell. It breaks my heart every time I talk about it, but it's in the Bible. I love talking about heaven. But Jesus said there are two eternal destinations. And if you're on the wrong road, it leads to the wrong destination. If you're on the right road, it leads to the right destination. Hey, what happens to a person after they die? That's a question a lot of people want answered. Well, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus said there were these two men. One of them was a poor guy, a beggar by the name of Lazarus. But he was a righteous man who had faith in God. And so when Lazarus died, the Bible says, Jesus said this, the angels escorted him into heaven. But the rich man, who was selfish and stingy and cared nothing for anybody else, he died. And the Bible says, according to Jesus, that he woke up and he was in hell. And you know what made hell so hellish? Jesus said it was because this rich man in hell could look up into heaven and see Lazarus. He recognized him because Lazarus used to sit at his gate to his mansion and beg for crumbs. And this is the first thing the rich man said. Lazarus was there. I mean, yeah, Lazarus was with Abraham. So the rich man said, hey, Abraham, tell Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue because, here's an exact quote, I am tormented in this flame, in this flame. But you know what also made hell hellish? He also said, hey, Abraham, okay, I know he can't do that because you said there's a great gulf fixed. But would you tell Lazarus to go to my brothers? I've got three brothers who are still alive. And you know what? They're on the same road I'm on. Send Lazarus to them to warn them not to come to this place. I've often said, folks, if somehow we could lower a microphone into hell, wherever it is, you know what you'd hear? You'd hear people saying, hey, go tell my brother. Go tell my sister. Go tell my children. Go tell my grandchildren. Don't come here. And the Bible says one day there will be a judgment for all of us. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And look at Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. This describes what will happen if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life. He was thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. So the question that we all ought to be thinking about today is, how can I get my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because I don't want to go to that other place. Well, here's what you have to do. Realize that you're on the wrong road and admit you are a sinner. Admit you're going in the wrong direction. But you know what? That's the hardest part. Because most people in our society are in denial when it comes to their own sin. They think everything is everybody else's fault. It's not my fault. You know, one of the songs that our kids are listening to these days is by the British pop singer Lily Allen. She's got this song that's like number one now called The Fear. And it's really a parody about how self-absorbed our culture has become. But there's a phrase in the song where she says, now, I'm not a saint, but I'm not a sinner. And everything's cool as long as I'm getting thinner. And then the chorus says, when do you think it'll all become clear? Because I'm being taken over by the fear. Well, you can debate, and people have, what the fear is. But I think the fear that a lot of people have as they're going down this road, this super highway, and everybody else is going with them, so they think it's okay. I think back in the back of their mind, there is this nagging fear. I'm going in the wrong direction. There's got to be more to life than just getting all this stuff and possessions. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. And that's the fear. And so, see, our job is to help people who are going in the wrong direction. Okay, so what? All right. Here's the so what. Whenever you come to the end of a message, anytime you've ever read God's word, you always got to ask yourself, so what? What does it mean to me? Well, two questions. Question number one, are you sure you're on the right road? Only you can answer that. Are you absolutely sure you are on the right road? A road that leads to heaven, not the road that leads to destruction. Through the years, as I've talked with people about their spiritual condition, I've asked a question that's kind of a diagnostic question I learned years ago. It says this: have you come to a place in your life where you know for certain that you have eternal life and that you're going to heaven when you die? How do you think you'd answer that question? If your answer is, I hope so, that's not a good answer. I think so, not a good answer. Worst answer is, no, I'm not. You say, Pastor, can anybody know for sure? Yes, you can. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto those of you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may, K-N-O-W, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, here's the second so what question, because you know what? I think in a crowd like this on Sunday morning in Tyler, Texas, Green Acres, most of you can answer yes to question number one. Here's question number two, so what? Will you help? You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I don't see anything filled in the blank on the screen. Well, that's right. You know why? Because you have to fill that in yourself. I want you to put the name of somebody, maybe a friend, a relative, a loved one, somebody you work with, a classmate, a neighbor, somebody that you just encounter, that as far as you know, they're on the wrong road. Here's my question. Will you help John Doe, Jane Doe, who is traveling in the wrong direction to turn around? Will you? Okay. I totally misunderstood this narrow road until a few years ago, when God revealed something to me. It wasn't spooky, it's in His Word, but I came to understand it. And I want to demonstrate it to you as I finish here today, but in order to demonstrate it, I need six men to volunteer. All right, six guys, come around up here. Six of you. Quicker you come, the quicker I'll finish. So come on, six guys. Six guys. Stand on these tape facing this way. Everybody facing this way. Six of you. Whoop, here we go. We got six. One more up here. Stand on the tape. There we go. Great. Everybody standing on the tape. Everybody facing that way. Okay. Here's what I want to demonstrate. These guys represent the people on the wrong road, the super highway to hell. That's why there's so many of them, okay? I've kind of always wanted to say this in church, but you guys are going to hell. You know that? All right. Just imagine. I know you're not, but just imagine you are for illustration purposes. I've been in this line. I've been on this highway myself. As I said, there was a time in my life I was right here going straight toward destruction. But then I heard the truth about Jesus Christ and I repented and I turned from my sins and I put my faith in Jesus Christ and I got on the narrow road. But you know what my mistake was? I thought that this narrow Jesus road was somewhere off over here. You know, I kind of pictured it was some mountain trail. Narrow, that went up into the mountains where the air was fresh and clean and the trees were beautiful. And you know, some people think that. That's why some people think you live the Christian life in a monastery. You totally separate yourselves from the world. But this is what the Lord revealed to me. You know where this narrow road is, this Jesus road? I'll show you where it is. It is right here between that super highway of people going toward hell. That's where it is, folks. That's why you and I, every day of our life, we are going to encounter men and women and people who are going in the wrong direction. Hey, does it ever seem like we're going against the flow? Does it ever feel like we're going in the wrong direction with the rest of the world? Guess what? Because we are. It's kind of like the story I heard about a guy driving home from work and his wife called him on his cell phone and said, honey, be careful. I just heard on the news that there's an idiot on your highway driving the wrong way. He said, there's just not one idiot. There's hundreds of them driving the wrong way. He was the one going the wrong way. That's us, okay? Now, here's what my job is. Once I have turned around and repented of my sins, as most of you in this room have, my job is to engage these people. Not to be angry. Not to say, you dummy, you're going to hell. You know, not to be angry, anything like that. But to develop a relationship with them. Hey, Terry, you know what? Are you really happy with the direction of your life? And I used to be going the same direction you're going, but then I heard Jesus and what He had to say about forgiveness, and you know, He turned my life around. And I still make a lot of mistakes. I'm far from perfect. But now I know that my sins are forgiven, and I have a hope of eternal life in heaven. And man, I'd love more than anything else for you to turn around and follow me on to heaven. You see, folks, you just befriend these people. As adults have been learning, show people love and share him. You just splash them with the living water. And you know what some people say? I don't want you Christians stuffing your religion down my mouth. Folks, let me just tell you this. If I knew that this bridge was out, if I knew for certain this bridge was out, it would be the kindest, most compassionate thing in the world for me to do, to say, whoa, stop, there's danger ahead. There's destruction ahead. So folks, here's our job. Every day here we are. We get to see these people. We get to love these people. And we get to tell them about their need to turn around. But I need to make this real clear. I can't turn them around. You know, you have to choose yourself to turn around and get on the right road for Jesus. So let's give these guys a hand for the good job demonstrating that. And you know, as I said, this past 6 weeks, the young adults in our church have been studying about how to splash others with the living water, S-P-L-A-S-H, show people love and share him. I want to end with a couple of splash stories, true stories that have happened just the last couple of weeks. Paul Drury, who teaches one of our Sunday morning Bible study classes, he wrote me and said, when making a visit to a home of a person who has visited our church, we were met at the door by an older teenager. During a discussion while standing in an entry foyer which overlooked a sunken living room, the teenager acknowledged that she was not a Christian. After presenting a salvation message, we asked the teen if she would like to receive Christ, to which she said, no. When we were about to leave, a 12-year-old girl whom we did not see sitting in the sunken living room stood up and said, but I would. She prayed and received Christ. Our visit was a divine appointment for a 12-year-old whom we did not even know was listening to the gospel. Isn't that great, folks? Whenever you splash water on somebody else, you never know who else it's going to splash on, right? Here's another one. Mary Gail Smith, a member of our church, she swims regularly at the YMCA. And she said, I was in the shower singing, how can I keep from singing your praise after my swim that day at the YMCA pool? The young lady who cleans the locker room had just come in and was crying. I asked her if she was okay and would she like to talk to me about it. The first time I met her several months ago, we immediately struck up a friendship. We had a brief conversation each time I was there working out. She felt comfortable sharing with me the reason she was so upset. I remember asking the Holy Spirit to help me as she and I sat down in the now empty locker room and were able to talk. I shared Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 and other scriptures as God was drawing her to him. I asked her if she'd like to pray. She said she wanted to but didn't know how. I told her that she could just talk to God the same way that she was talking to me, and that he hears her prayers of repentance and acceptance of his free gift of salvation. She prayed aloud, and praise God, I witnessed a new creation. And she says, there are two other people I'm praying for, and if God wills, maybe I'll get to lead them to Christ. And I love the way she signed it. She said, love to splash, Mary Gail Smith. Folks, I want to remind you, there are two roads that lead through two gates that go to two different destinies. And getting your ticket to heaven punched is not all there is to your life. God has called upon you to lovingly encounter and engage those going in the wrong direction, and through the grace and power of Jesus Christ, to help them get going on the right road toward heaven. Father, thank you for making it so simple that even a child can understand. And Father, I pray that if there is anyone in this room right now that realizes and admits that they are on the wrong road, I pray that today would be the day that they repent, that they change their mind, and that they turn from their sin and turn toward you in faith. And Father, I pray for those today in this room who are on the right road, but yet they have become unconcerned about loved ones on the wrong road. And I pray that you would renew their passion to help people get on the Jesus road. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.